Hey there, welcome to our podcast. Pastors Todd and Mary have a message for you this week that they believe will inspire hope, unleash potential, and change your life. Make sure to subscribe to get a new one every week. Enjoy.
All right, let's talk about baptisms. Okay? Let's talk about baptism. What is baptisms? It's going to be a lesson today. Just get ready. Okay, we're going to college today. Why do we get baptized? I mean, those are some of the questions that we usually ask, right? What's baptism? Why do we get baptized? How do we get baptized? All the what, how, why questions. And, you know, throughout my Christian walk, I've become accustomed to the regular answers that I hear from everyone. Let me give it to you. Baptism is a public declaration of your faith in Christ, where your old self is buried and you are raised to life. Have we heard that before? We get baptized because Jesus set the model for us by getting baptized in the Jordan River. It is our way of declaring that we belong to Him. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
Cool. All right, don't get me wrong, okay? These answers are all correct, by the way. I'm not going to try to give you guys something different. I'm not going to give you anything that is contrary to this. Trust me and believe me, if I did, I wouldn't be here today. And Pastor wouldn't have trusted me to be able to give this lesson today. So that's not what we're talking about, okay? My goal today is simply to expand on what you already know about baptism. On something that maybe you've been taught, you learn, I want to expand. And in the process, if you learn something new today, then I consider this a big success. You ready? All right, so let's talk about baptism. There is no example of water baptism at all in the Old Testament. There's none, okay? You won't find it. Although there is some clear allusion to it in the New Testament. Let me give you guys one Bible reference, for example. 1 Peter 3:20 through 21 reads, "Those who were disobedient long ago, when God waited patiently in the days of Noah, while the ark was being built, in it only a few people, eight in all, were saved through water, and this water symbolizes baptism that now saves you." Okay? So it's not taught. Okay, let me backtrack a little bit, all right? Do the whole spinning circle. Okay? It's not saying that everyone from Noah's age or Noah's time was baptized through the flood. Clear that out, okay? It's basically saying that this symbolism of baptism stands for salvation, all right? You are saved through this symbolism of baptism. Not that the actual rite of baptism saves you, but you are declaring that you are saved in Christ Jesus. Now, I love the part. I love this part, okay, where it says, God waited patiently. Do you guys catch that? God waited patiently in the days of Noah. He waited patiently. Eight people were saved, right? While the ark was being built. Now, let me do a quick survey. Let me ask you guys real quick. Let me ask. Does anyone like to work on home improvement projects? Let me see. If you like to work. Okay, some in the back, yes. All across, okay. A few of you. All right, cool. All right, that's fine. How many Chip and Joanna Gaines wannabes do we have at Church Unleashed? Let me see. Now, I'm going to tell you how it is. You guys are straight up lying in church today. All right, I have something to confess. You guys ready for this? All right, here it is. I love working on home improvement projects. I love it, okay? I like to consider myself the Latin Chip Gaines, okay? It's my name, all right? I love fixing stuff. I love putting things together and seeing the final product. I love it, right? But I know one thing, home improvement projects can take a long time, especially if you're working by yourself. Now, most scholars believe that it took Noah approximately 40 years, give or take, you know, to build the ark. Now, if you study the scripture, the number 40 in the Bible stands for time of testing, trial, and then it's followed by triumph. Testing, trial, triumph. Okay? Now, trial, testing, triumph. Say it with me. Trial, testing, triumph. Trial, testing, triumph. Come on, church. Trial, testing, triumph. Trial, testing, triumph. Maybe you're here today and you're going through a time of trial and testing. Maybe the fact that you're here today, you're here sitting in the audience and you say, man, I just made it to church today. Someone invited me to church. I came and I'm here today. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Trial, testing, triumph. Okay? The fact that you're here today is a huge triumph. The fact that you're actually sitting here today means that you are trusting God for your breakthrough, for your triumph, for your deliverance. So maybe you're here today, right? And then you're trusting God, and you're hearing about baptisms, and you never got baptized before. Guess what? When you walked in here, you were walking in a time of trial testing. But when you walk out of here, you're going to walk in a time of triumph, because God is going to do something amazing in your life. All right, so the first example of baptism, we find it in the life of John the Baptist, okay? His title alone represents his function for what he was sent here on this earth, John the Baptist. That was his ministry. That was his calling. Now, when you take the literal translation of his title, I love this, all right? You guys are going to be mind blown right now. It really sounds like a superhero name. It sounds so cool. This is his title. If you translate it, you know, to our English, John the Immerser. How cool is that? That is so awesome. Just walking around telling people, man, I am Elton the Immerser. I am, you know, I am Carlos the Submerger. I mean, that's what it stands for, right? John the Baptist. That's what it stands for. See, John was the first person to have this divine calling. Bible teaches us that John was sent for a threefold purpose to this earth. Check this out. This is what he was sent for. One, preach repentance. Two, preach on the one to come, Jesus. Three, his ministry was followed through baptism. That was his purpose. Repentance, Jesus, baptism. Repentance, Jesus, baptism. That was his calling. That's what his divine purpose on this earth was, to do that. Mark 1, 2, and 3 says, look, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, and he will prepare your way. He is a voice shouting in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. John was specifically sent on this earth to prepare the way for Jesus. John knew specifically that his role in life was not to be the spotlight. That preaches right there. Come on, somebody. He knew that the spotlight didn't belong to him. His job was to turn the spotlight to Jesus. Come on. He knew that his purpose, Jesus was the main attraction. He knew that Jesus was the one that came into this earth, and he was the savior of this world. I love it. That's why I love the famous saying by John, he must increase and I must decrease. How humbling, awesome, amazing is that? He must increase and I must decrease, because he knew his purpose, his calling in life. Now, see, this is something interesting about John. You might not know this. Maybe you do. He was a really weird guy, to say the least. Really weird. Okay? Bible says that he wore clothes of camel's hair. Okay? He wore clothes of camel's hair, and he ate locusts and wild honey. Can you imagine that? Who would like to have a friend like that? I mean, it sounds manly when you think about it, right? Locusts and wild honey. Not me. No thanks. No gracias. I'm cool. I'm Gucci, you know. I don't need none of that, all right? That's not a thing to do. The Bible then goes on to say, this messenger was John the Baptist. He was in the wilderness, and he preached that people should be baptized to show that they have repented of their sins and turned to God for forgiveness. Now, I love this next part. Check this out. All of Judea, say it with me. Say, all of Judea, including all the people of Jerusalem, went out to see and hear John, and when they confessed their sins, he baptized them in the Jordan River. Now, this is cool. I am a little geek, okay, so bear with me. I'm a little nerd, okay? I love grammar. That's how weird I am. I love grammar. I know I love proper grammar and all that stuff. I love this part in the Bible. I am a student of the text, okay? The main conjunction in this passage is end. Okay, joins the sentence together. Bear with me. I'm getting somewhere. And is a coordinating conjunction. Coordinating conjunctions link equal parts of a sentence. Catch this then. You guys ready for this? All of Judea went to see and hear him. And when they all confessed their sin, they were all baptized. Doesn't say a few people were baptized. All of Judea went to see John the Baptist. When all they heard of him, everybody was baptized. Can you guys imagine? Okay, contextualize it a little bit. I'm going to bring it down. Just guys will catch this, okay? All of Comac went to see that Latino and Mercer Chip Gaines or... preach or teach, okay? They were all safe, and they were all baptized. Come on, somebody. That is revival right there. They were living in revival. All right, so we learn why we get baptized, right? Now let's learn how we get baptized. How do we get baptized? See, the word itself, baptisms, comes from the Greek word baptizo. Okay, when you translate it, this word has not been translated to English. It's been a word that's basically been adopted from the Greek, and we've taken it. So we never translated this word, just made up a word from the Greek. Baptism, baptizo. How's that for a word of translation, word lost in translation? We didn't translate this word, okay? So this is what baptizo means: to dive in water, to immerse, to or submerge. You can take a little deeper, to bury in. That's what baptizo means. Now, context is key. How many of you guys know that? Context is key. John was baptizing in the Jordan River, okay? If he wanted to, he could have stayed in Israel and sprinkle or spray people to baptize them. I wanted to have a super soaker and just didn't work out, you know, because you can really soak somebody, hey, baptize, you know, sprinkle somebody, you're baptized. He could have stayed in Israel, but he went to the Jordan River. While he's baptizing in the Jordan River, he makes this declaration: I baptize you with water for repentance, but after me comes one who is more powerful than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Okay? Geek part coming in again, you know, nerdy part. Most translation miss a very important thing right here. The proper translation there should never be with water. It should be in water. That should be the right translation. If I baptize you with water, I could baptize you with anything, right? But if I baptize you in water, you're going in. You're going all the way in. You're going to be immersed or submerged. So the proper translation here should be, I baptize you in water unto repentance, but there is coming a man after me who is more powerful than I. Now check this out so we don't miss translation right here. He will submerge you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Come on. He will immerse you with the Holy Spirit. You will be filled with the Holy Spirit. See, I don't know if you're hearing this, but being baptized in water leads to a life submerged or immersed in the Holy Spirit. That's what baptism is. That is the goal. We don't want to baptize you today for you to go back the same way that you came in. That's not the goal. Then we just, you know, threw you in water. We didn't accomplish anything. We want you to be baptized today so that your life will be changed and you will be filled, submerged with the Holy Spirit. See, one thing I can promise you is once you experience this Holy Spirit revival, your life will never be the same. Your life will be changed. Your life will be transformed. Your only goal, passion, mission in life will be to be in God's presence all the time. No one and not a thing in this world will be able to fully satisfy that craving to be in the presence of God. Nothing will ever do. That's being submerged in the Holy Spirit. That's being immersed in the Holy Spirit. All right, let's backtrack a little bit. Okay, let's backtrack a little bit. Remember the number 40 in the Bible stands for a time of testing, trial, followed by triumph. Right? We went over that. Maybe you've been going through some difficult time lately. Maybe the very reason you're not getting baptized today in this moment is because you don't feel worthy enough. Because the enemy has put this lie in your head. You're not worthy enough. See your family, you see your life, chaos. How can you say that you want to get baptized, change your life, if there's chaos all around you? See, that is the biggest lie from the enemy. Bible teaches us that you are made in His perfect image. He created you. He wants you to step into your promise today. Everyone has a story to tell when we got baptized. All of us. See, I remember getting baptized as a teenager back in the days. And I was play wrestling with my little brother. Okay? How many of you guys have little siblings, little sisters, little brother? Okay, it's fun. I made my brother do all the chores. He's probably watching. I'm sorry, bro. You know? But I remember I body slammed him into the bed with play wrestling. We're like, whoa! You know? Now, I used to live in this apartment in the hood. I just want to clarify that. My wife doesn't think I'm hood anymore, but in the hood, okay? So, if you ever live in an apartment or back in the days, do you guys remember those old radiator heaters? Okay, they probably still have those around, so college is like, yeah, we had those in Queens. So I body slammed him. His head goes against the radiator heater. Boom. Blood gushing everywhere. I'm like, oh my God. You know, I was crying. To this day, I don't know why we didn't take him to the hospital. You know what I mean? And he's still around. So he starts bleeding. Talk about bad timing. I mean, I was only a few hours away from getting baptized. Man, did I feel bad. All I remember is a family picture of us. I wanted to look for this picture. All I remember is a family picture of us, me, you know, after I get baptized, my brother there with a big bandage, white bandage in his head, you know. I mean, I can laugh about it now, but it wasn't funny back then. See, the point of the story is that I hope you guys didn't send a family member to the hospital before you came to church today. I'm just kidding, okay? The fact that you're here today is a good reason to celebrate. We learned so far that repentance comes before baptism. That's what John the Baptist taught us. And maybe you're here today and you never had the opportunity to make Jesus Lord of your life. Maybe you're here today, or it's been a while since you came back to church. Maybe you've been asking and wondering, you know, is this for me? So I'm going to ask you guys just to close your eyes. Everyone, eyes closing. And I'm going to ask you, you know, the whole reason for baptism is to live a life of repentance and to be right with Jesus. So before we actually participate in baptism, we want to make it right. So maybe you're here today and you've been asking, you know, nobody's life is perfect, trust me, you know. But the fact that you're here today means a lot. And the enemy didn't win. God is winning. Bible teaches us that God will win the ultimate battle, so He already won it for you. You don't have to do anything. It's already done. It's declared. It's written. It will come to pass. So you're here today, and you're wondering, say, God, I know that you called me. I believe in you. I know that you have a purpose, a calling for my life. And I just want to honor you today, God. If you're here today and you receive this message and you say, I want to live that life. I understand that I'm far from perfect, but I know that Jesus has a plan purpose for my life, and I want to make it right today. If you never prayed this prayer before, I want to make Jesus Lord of your life. But I ask you right where you are, just to lift up your hand, right where you are. Just lift up your hand. Yes, I see that hand in the back. Yes, yes, I see this hand. Yes, I see this hand. Yes, God. Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. All right, church, can you join me in this prayer? Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I repent of my sins. I ask you right now to come into my life, to be my Lord and my Savior, to make everything new. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Amen.